ready to go live with our call for our Tuesday night celebration of life, and here we go. We're live online and on the telephone. Welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. It's great to be with you. If you're online, feel free to go to your Ustream chat account and ask any questions that you might have as we go through this process tonight. If you're on the telephone, you can text us at 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. And we'll be happy to do our very best to answer your questions while we're on the air tonight. It's great to have you with us. We have been going through the six qualities of an intentional creator. We have new guests with us tonight who are going to be with us now. We've just finished the coaching program. It's great to have you join us as well. As we go through this process, we take the qualities in the same order in which they were coached. We start with connection to people. We learn the principles of intrinsic validation. And then mental creation, using our mind five constructive ways to ignite our passion. And then physical creation, how to be in passion-driven action. Last week we took on discipline and structure, all that noise in our head, that need to be right and trying to fix everyone, all those systemic thought processes. And tonight we're going to take on joy in the journey. Now this particular measurement, this particular quality, has six measurements. I want to review each one of them with you briefly. So open up your assessment. To get to your assessment, go to augmandino.com. Scroll down until you see the six options, seven options. The last one's member login. Click on member login. It's the same way you get to your assessment results or your tool set. You'll either be logged in and go straight to your assessment results, or you'll come to a sign-in page. Your username is your email address, and then your password, the password you selected when you took the assessment. If you have any challenges getting into this area, you want to be here regularly studying from the tool set, please drop an email to Nikki, N-I-K-I, N-I-K-I at augmandino.com, and ask her for assistance in being able to log on to these tools. These are such an important piece of our program, and there is a direct correlation between those who listen to the tool set, spend time with their assessment, reading the scrolls, and the success a person has with these principles. So we would encourage you to do so. If you would like to, you can go with me to your tool set and click on quality number 5. And from quality number 5, I'm just going to open that up with you right now. I'm on the chat line. So if we go to augmandino.com, everybody just join me there for a moment, augmandino.com. I'll type it in right now, and I'll be there with you in just a half a second. Then we go to member login, and I happen to be logged in, so it should take me right to the results. When we're in the results, across the top, you'll see on the navigation, my assessment results. The next option is creation tools. There's two little gears next to it. Just click on that. That'll take you into your intentional creation tools, and click on quality number 5. Now, in quality number 5, the first option in the middle section is called the assessment report. Click on the assessment report, and here are the six measurements for joy in the journey. They'll be unique to your assessment. These are your measurements as they show up in your latest assessment report. I want to review each one of them with you. And scroll down and take a look at the definitions. You can learn a great deal about your assessment by just reading this portion. The first measurement is grateful. Now this measurement is asking the question, mathematically asking the question, how do we feel about our life? This is me, I'm in my life, this is my tangible reality. It's not what I'm doing. How do we feel about me in this space? How do I feel about this space? How do I feel about my life? And grateful is asking from an intrinsic perspective, do I like this? Do I like this? And quite often, almost 80%+, this measurement is orange or red, which means there's something about our life that does not stack up to our expectations. When we were in mental creation, we talked about goal setting. and being able to vividly visualize whatever we're vividly visualizing, whatever that is. This is our first indication of whether or not life is even close. If we're going, ugh, by now I thought it would be easier. By now I thought it would be, I'd be further ahead. Ugh, if we've got a little bit of that ugh feeling, this doesn't mean we can't step back and feel grateful. It's just saying that in this moment, when life shows up differently than our expectations, that little ugh we get, that thought process can tie us up and leave us feeling really uncomfortable. So take a look at grateful to see how yours is showing up. It says, I am grateful, I am present in the here and now, and find personal satisfaction, fulfillment, and joy in all that I do. The next measurement is persistent. This measurement is asking this question. We're doing a task. How do I feel about how well it should be done? My participation in this. Where are my thought processes? And we're finding in today's economy, close to 90%, that's an alarming percent, have this measurement orange or red. And when it starts to creep over into this area, we go from I'm persistent, I'm focused and driven, I understand the relationship between the work I do, the contributions I make, and the recognition or remuneration I receive. We start shifting to a focus on getting more recognition and or getting more remuneration. If we're having financial challenges and life is showing up differently than our expectations, we can start to think about money a lot, because this isn't what I want. I want to have my bills paid. I want less stress. I want less pain. Well, if we're preoccupied, and this is a thought process, and we surrender our free will to this thought process, this preoccupation with the need to make money will actually rob us of the qualities necessary to create money. This preoccupation, we'll be doing a task wanting it to generate money instead of having it serve another person and solve another person's challenges, the very things that create revenue. When we solve enough problems for enough people, we do have what we want. So we want to check on this measurement to see if we are starting to focus too much on the finances. Now we go down to the next one, effective. Oh, this one's an interesting one. The balance statement reads, I am effective. I plan my work and work my plan. I realistically allocate my time and energy between multiple tasks to maximize efficiency and effectiveness. We're seeing this measurement show up orange a lot. When it does, we are in a state of frenetic. Frenetic means like a dog chasing its tail or a chicken running around with its head cut off. Frenetic. Non-goal-directed activity. That's a fancy way of saying busy, 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 and not really moving our life forward. Mathematically, what's happening underneath this measurement is the mind is trying to figure out how to create in linear time that which it's seen so clearly in our mind. Remember, in our mind, we can create that Learjet in a nanosecond. Boom, it's created. In real time, that takes time. And it's, you know, juggling 10 tasks all at once. You know, why the stress? You're making Superman look like a wimp. Just know your mind is trying to figure out how to get this expectation created today. Well, it can't be. And as we run around in this kind of craziness, we generally get nothing created. We're just very exhausted at the end of the day. So we'll take a look at that one. Realistic. Oh, this is a fun measurement. This is, I am realistic. I effectively manage any gap between what I have and what I want. I stay focused in the now and shun escape and avoid fantasy. We're seeing this one red a lot. When it turns red, I'm standing on this rim of the canyon, looking at the other rim of the canyon. That's where my mind is. I'm standing here, my mind is over there, and I'm trying to figure out how to bridge this gap. Intangible reality, how do I get over there? That can create a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration, a lot of pain. The next one is diligent. This one reads, I am diligent, I function well in stressful situations without having the need to complain, place blame, or make excuses. Now we're seeing this one turning orange probably 70-72% of the time now. So when we see this one turning orange, most of the time it's something we're allowing in our life to happen that is keeping us from performing at a higher level. That might be keeping the house clean so our mind is clear, our desk clean so our mind is clear. It might be that we've got some responsibilities that we need to let go and we've been reluctant to do so to get things created. Whatever thing it is, it's getting in the way of us taking action and we're actually allowing it to happen. Now, occasionally we'll see it go the other direction where those things are in the way. Instead of allowing them, we're blaming them. You know, if my credit card balances weren't so high, if I had a better job, if I had a better car, if I had, then this wouldn't be happening. Then I could focus. Then I could work. This is just a thought. Remember, we're not our thoughts. We're stepping back and just looking at this and going, wow, does that thought process show up for me? Am I ever blaming my circumstances for my lack of productivity? Am I ever allowing things in my life to get in the way and hold me back from being productive? There's something joyful about being productive. The last measurement is vigilant. I am vigilant. I realistically assess the importance and impact of how I spend my time. I invest my energy in doing things that are important and that add value to my life. We see this nearly 90% of the time orange. And it's just screaming. It's screaming, you were meant to do something important with your life. You're meant to do something important with your life. What you're doing isn't it. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that tonight and how we can fight this piece. Just know sometimes it's not what we're doing. It's the mindset we're bringing to what we're doing. It's the focus. We shift our focus and our emphasis, and sometimes we actually are doing what will bring us joy once we understand the principles. So those are the six measurements. We have grateful, persistent, effective, realistic, diligent, and vigilant. Six very important measurements, because when everything is said and done, if we don't enjoy the world in which we live, enjoy, have joy in this journey, this can be a very discouraging experience. And chances are, if we don't enjoy the journey, we probably have got some issues with our self-esteem, which we're going to take on next week, where I am now blaming myself. It must be my fault. What's wrong with me? What don't I know? Am I not capable, able? Maybe it's my belief system I need to change, or I need to sacrifice my time, energy, or my well-being. We start getting into some very personal self-esteem issues when we're having challenges with joy in the journey. So let's take on a few of these and see if we can't create something tonight that'll bless your life. I want to take on grateful first. If we get nowhere else, this will be the most important piece we'll discuss. I've been reflecting on this one the last few days. How often do we wish that we were someone else, somewhere else, doing something different? Have you ever been there? Have you ever compared your circumstances financially, physically, spiritually, with another person? Have you ever looked over there and wanted to be that someone else, somewhere other than where you are, doing something different than you're currently doing? It's true that most people have had this experience. Some are still experiencing it. It is one of the most critical issues we will face in self-growth. As we are growing, one of the pivotal critical moments is when we come to an awareness about this very issue. Wow. Because we don't get that person's life circumstances. We don't get their money. Now, some people might try to steal it, or we might try to get rich quick by engaging in some scheme that ends up costing us dearly in the end, and others. We may frantically try to do some crazy things to create that. But I want to share with you tonight the secret. The secret to creating something different. It's very simple. We talked about this during coaching. And I know I talk about it frequently with coaching clients. And I know that there are times when I am still facing this very principle. So I know that if I'm teaching it and still facing it at times, I can't be alone. So just join with me tonight. Just let down all of the resistance that you may have or concern about what people might think about you, and just be here with me for a moment. And let us take in our hands this chunk of clay. Remember that we talked about taking this 5-pound block of clay and just holding it in our hands? Let's just take a look at it. What is it about this clay that we don't like? What is it? Let's take an inventory. I'll give you some places to look. Go to your finances in relationship to where you would like them to be. Go to your current physical condition versus where you would like it to be. Go to your current relationship versus where you would like it to be. Just take a look at those three, first of all. Take a look at the mistakes that you may have made and the damage you may have caused or something that's happened to you where someone has hurt you. Take a look at this clay. Now I want you to step back for a moment and look someplace we rarely look. I want you to look at the natural strengths. I'm going to tell you to look at your goodness. Your goodness. Oh, you're going to say, yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. As Sean Stevens says, it's time for us to get off of our butts, our big butts, B-U-T-S, but this, but that. Start to take a look at our great gifts. Look at your assessment and look at the blues and greens. Those are all gifts. The others, they're not even you. They're just thought processes and habits that you're going to be shifting. Think about the good things you've done, the people you've served, the days that were the best. Just be here with your clay for a moment. Because here's the truth. And of all the truths that I teach, this may be the truest of the true, the most deeply personal. This is your clay. You don't get anybody else's clay. This is it. Now, the only time this doesn't seem enough is when we compare it to someone else. If we can look at this clay and say, this is what I've been given. I have spent too many years of my life wishing I were someone else. I had different clay, having a different experience with their clay than I'm having with mine. However, I now know, as painful as it may seem at first, this is my clay. I don't get to choose somebody else's. It's not possible. And some of the rebellion that I've experienced through discipline and structure, in terms of authority, in terms of discipline, in terms of being analytical and consistent, really boils down to a resistance to owning my clay. I don't want to face this. Someone puts structure on me. They're pointing out the flaws in my clay. I don't want to deal with the flaws in my clay. I don't want to deal with any of this. And so what am I going to do? Well, this is going to be your night. Just be with this tonight. This is my clay. That's it. Let go of all of the other messages, all the other things you'd like to have. Now, I'm not sure how to create them, but you can't have somebody else's clay. But you can. One, choose you. So first you want to know what's here. So know thyself. is you. Choose you. I'm going to make this choice tonight. This is the only other choice is resistance and resentment and frustration and anger and disappointment. That's the only other option. That's not a good one either. But I want that. That's not possible to have her clay. You get this clay. Huh. And part of the harshness in that is so that we will actually look at and begin to see the magnificence in the clay we've been given. Wow. Because once we have it in our heart that this is the clay, you can say we're stuck with, but we're not stuck with it. We get to choose it. And the moment we say, I choose my clay, we are honoring the gift. That's when magic begins. That's when the miracle starts to unfold. Because when we honor the gift, we understand that gratitude has two components. One, being grateful for that which we have, and taking on the fiduciary responsibility. That's a very sacred legal responsibility to take the clay we've been given and create the most we can with it. That's the yearning we have in our soul. Have you felt this? But I want more. I want you to know that yearning is good when it's applied to your clay. When it's applied to comparison, it is deadly. It is destructive. But taking your clay and wanting to create more with it is a noble intention. That is noble. That is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to want more. But the want more is to create more with our clay. What God gives us is his gift to us. What we do with it is our gift to him. Unknown author, but true. What are you going to do with this? Well, if we take it and we begin creating the most we can with it, maximizing all of the strengths we have. Let's play to our strengths. Kevin Hall talks this so beautifully. We play to our strengths, and we begin to create the most we can with our clay. And then a miracle occurs. The giver of this gift gives us more clay. We want more, to create more. But we don't get more until we're in creation with this, fully maximizing what we've been given. Why would a creator give us more if we're devaluing the gift that's already been given? So let us maximize this gift. And in maximizing the gift, we're given more clay. We start to see miracles unfold in our life. I was just in the class before this, sharing from the book some of the miracles in retrospect in our life, and how being in creation with the clay we had been given, I could not take anybody else's clay. We had $1 million in debt. That's just the way it was. These were my skill sets. This is where I was trying to improve, create the most we could, and as we were in creation, we were given more clay. Strange ways. Sometimes it was a negotiation on a debt that was forgiven. Or it was a down payment that was needed to reduce the debt with a significant payment. We just got the payment from creating a script opportunity to write a script. We watched these things happen. We were given more clay. That was a beautiful thing. As we acquired increasing levels of ability, now we're honoring the giver of the gift. We create the most we can. And as we create more and more, we have more and more to give. So we create, and then we give. We're no longer giving from an empty cup. We're giving from a full cup that's overflowing. The empty cup is when we want to be someone else, somewhere else, and we have to do this, and we have to do that, and we're trying to impress people and pretend and serve and sacrifice, and we're not doing it from our clay. We're doing it all the time, wishing we were them or had that. That's exhausting. That wears us out. When we are creating with our own clay and we give from a cup that's overflowing. It's a beautiful principle. This is gratitude. I've just described it. Gratitude is first knowing and owning our clay. Two, creating the most we can with our clay and giving in the service of others from this overflowing cup. That's gratitude. The reason why grateful turns orange or even red is because we haven't owned this. We're frustrated because this doesn't stack up with what our mind has seen. That's the frustration. There's no way I can take this and create that by tomorrow. That's effective. That measurement effective. That's all it's saying is, how do I take this and create that by tomorrow? Ah! When we practice the gratitude as I've just described, now we're in purpose-driven action. We're taking steps consistently to execute on the goals and plans that we made when we're in mental creation. We're no longer in this frenetic, non-goal-directed activity. We're taking absolute, deliberate steps. Everybody got that? So we're working on the measurement grateful. We're working on the measurement effective. And we're working on the measurement realistic by taking this process to its fullest. We're in passion-driven action. That's where we are. We're letting go of resistance and resentment. That's my reluctance to own my clay. And we're choosing it. And now we're using it, and we are intrinsically validating people. Quality number one. We're using our gift of vivid visualization to get inspired ideas and impressions to solutions to challenges that ignite our passion, mental creation. We're in passion-driven action, staying present in the now. That's a metaphysical creation. We're letting go of resistance and resentment, and we are showing up disciplined and structured, taking our clay and creating the most we can with it. And oh my goodness, all of a sudden we can see the bridge, how to build over there to the other side of that chasm. Our time is not crazy. We're in deliberate action. Grateful. We're deeply grateful. This is so exciting because every day we create more with this clay. We move ourselves forward. This is a beautiful place to be. We also, with diligent, we're no longer allowing these things to hold us back because we want that. And we're no longer blaming this for us being held back. We're now embracing this. Gratitude is the most important, grateful is the most important mathematical measurement in all of six of these. It plays through every one of them. Persistent. We're no longer just wanting their money and his wealth and wanting to make more money. We're focused on creating the most we can with our clay, and the natural outcome is ever-increasing levels of revenue. Wonderful. Consistent with our growth and where we are in the process, we are becoming increasingly capable of handling ever-increasing levels of stress with ever-increasing levels of ease, and with it, ever-increasing levels of income. So instead of being focused on wanting somebody else's money and being frustrated I don't have it and just needing more, we're focused on the very thing that creates it, taking our clay and making the very most we can with it. That's persistent. Effective, I've talked about. Realistic, I've talked about. Diligent. Vigilance, interesting. I should be doing something more important with my life. That means I don't like this. This is insignificant. I want to be Mother Teresa or Father Teresa. I mean, I've got all these goals and plans. Well, great. Then take this clay and begin the process of making the most we can with it. Huh. And all of a sudden, something makes sense. Let's say, for an example, we have a day job and we have a part-time home-based business. Happens to a lot. Great opportunity to build something wonderful with your life. Unfortunately, many see the home-based business as their answer to freedom, and we begin to hate our day job because it's keeping us from building. And I smile and say, let us understand this process, to take our clay and create the most we can with it is to recognize our strengths in every part of our life, because when we're in our day job and we are loving what we're doing, we are creating. It's not about what we get paid. It's not whether we get recognition for it. It's whether we bring all of us to it. Because when we're spending time with our clay, creating the most we can, we are spending the day with ourself. Self-esteem. We're esteeming our own clay. Have we got this? So we fall in love with what we're doing, because that is the time we're spending with ourselves. And it is on our nature, this is our choice, to create the most we can wherever we are. And this we know, that if we spend the day playing half speed, holding back, the chemicals, the molecules that are left released in the body exhaust the cells of the body. We come home at 6 o'clock and we climb in that easy chair. We can't get out. Oh, I'm so tired. And we make all kinds of commitments about what we'll do tomorrow night. And tomorrow night never comes. It never comes. It's always tonight. 10 years from now, it's still going to be tonight. However, the person who fell in love and spent the day with themselves can actually be exhilarated. Wow. They come home, they may sit in the chair for a few moments, collect their thoughts, and jump right in the next task. They have not been releasing molecules into their body that exhaust the cells. Now, if there's physical labor involved, there could be some physical fatigue. But if we have been creating the most we can with our clay, we'll actually be exhilarated. That's the energy we want to build a home-based business, if that's something you want to do in your time. So if you have a home-based business, fall back in love with what you're doing. Be an example of everything you want to be when your home-based business is thriving. One, there's a likelihood that somebody in your office is going to say, what are you doing? They're going to know what's happened to you. And if not, you'll know what's happening to you. We have a tendency to say, well, that's above my pay grade. Now, they don't pay me enough to do that. Once someone's negotiated a salary, the economics are over in the discussion. Now the question is, do you want to bring all of you? Or do you want to hold back and play half speed? Wow. Let us not bury this. Let us play full speed. This will help us with vigilant. We have a tendency when we're not doing this to always be looking at greener grass. Greener grass. Some people even go to some faraway country to help feed poor when their own children are starving. Now, I'm not suggesting we shouldn't do mission work to countries that are challenged. I think it's a beautiful thing to do. But not because we're trying to get away from this clay, the circumstance in our life. The grass really isn't greener. It's just different. And wherever we go, we take us with us. All of our habits of thinking go with us. What we didn't like here, we won't like there. The people we don't like here are the people we won't like there. So why not take our clay and create the most with it wherever we go, whatever we do? You see, in the end, it's not as important what we do as it is how we do it. We got that. It's not as important what we do as how we do it. Are we truly interested in people, stepping into their world, listening to them? Are we pulling out that tomahawk when discouragement comes and not going there today and staying in creation, getting inspired ideas and acting on them, staying in passion-driven action, taking on these thought processes that are resistant and angry and rebellious? Are we doing this? This is where we want to live. This is where the joy in the journey comes. You see, we plan in weeks and months and years. But we don't live in weeks. We live in pivotal moments. This little pivotal moment right now, this decision in this moment. How am I going to show up right now? What am I going to say? Am I going to be angry, frustrated, angry, overwhelmed? I said that twice, didn't I? Angry. That's probably the Freudian slip. Ramona can smile. Yeah, what are we going to do in this moment? Are we going to make a better choice? Because success is ultimately nothing more than pivotal moments successfully executed. That's all. So if we're owning our clay, creating the most we can with it throughout the day, living in these pivotal moments, This is where the joy is. It's in the journey. It's not the destination, because there's no such place. Most of you have thought processes that if you ever get to the goal you've seen in your mind, just before you get there, your mind is going to race ahead to the next mile marker and set a new one. You spend your whole life growing. There's no destination. It is all journey. All journey. So let's find some joy in this journey. Now the next piece. This is a tough piece. Jim Rohn said it. He said that the wind blows on all of us. If we could say the good and the evil, it blows on all of us. If we are in this joy in the journey, or in this journey, and every time the wind blows, we go, oh, stop it. Why me? That feels terrible. I don't want this. I want my life to be different. It is what it is. It always is what it is. Joy in the journey requires that we accept what is in the moment and then create the most we can with it, whatever that is. Create the most we can with it. It could be a health challenge. How get a dear friend? I don't think she's listening in tonight because she just got out of 12 hours of surgery late last night. Large mass underneath her chin here. They had to remove it, and with it her eardrum and part of her jawbone. They had to take leg bones out of her bone out of her leg to rebuild her jaw. Very painful, difficult experience. We went down to Las Vegas a few weeks ago to see her. Well, we saw her while we were there, her and her husband, and it was so fun to see her smile and to laugh. Somehow she knows that how she shows up, one, not only impacts how she feels about herself and the healing of her own body, it also impacts everyone around her, her children, her grandchildren, her siblings. Everybody watching her can do nothing but take courage from how she's showing up in life. It is absolutely miraculous to watch. Sorrow is part of life. Gil Gibran talks about this. He says that in his book, The Prophet, he says that while joy sits at our board, which means our table, sorrow is sleeping on our bed. They're like inseparable twins. One's here one day, the other one. One goes to sleep, the other one wakes up. They're just constant. But he talks about the fact that when our heart is hollowed out by sorrow, it has more room for joy. He talks about the flute. It's beautiful, soothing music. Was it not hard out with knives? The cup that we drink, was it not forged in a furnace? Yes, life has its pain, its sorrow, its disappointment. Og made it clear that we're going to ask for obstacles, that others have failed. They failed. He said, why would we ask for obstacles? Well, the answer is in understanding life. Because we all get them. And if we're going to get them, how are we going to show up in them? Are we going to be discouraged and frustrated? Or are we going to take what has happened and create the most we can with it? Now, it's interesting as a coach that often when I'm coaching, I'm talking not only to you, to myself. I don't want to set myself up as an example all the time because I'm not. What I'm sharing with you, the very things I'm working on myself, I might be a step or two ahead in some circumstances just because of the length of time that I've dealt with this. Don't think about it in terms of me. Think about it in terms of you. We're all on this journey together. How much longer do we want to go through this journey trying to be somebody else's clay? How much longer? Do we want to get to an end of our life and live the whole thing in resentment and frustration? Or do we want to spend part of it taking our clay and creating the most we can with it and find the joy that comes in that creation, in that journey, to maximize a strength and be given even greater strength? To see people put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. To be able to give from a cup that's overflowing. How long do we want to wait before we begin this journey? And when we make it, will we stumble? Yes, frequently. But only a worm is free from the fear of stumbling. And I'm not a worm. I'm just not a worm. So I'll stumble, get back up. Remember, we want to be creating the most we can with our clay. Let us tonight make this decision. Just take a look around and ask what it is that you wish was different. And instead of spending your time wishing it was different, now spend your time owning your clay and creating something different. And whatever you create, if you do it with full passion and intention, will be as good as it could be. And you can have joy in the process. Joy does not come until we're building life with our own clay. Everybody got that? Joy does not come until we're building this life with our own clay. That's when we start to experience joy. That's when the heavens can open. That's when the blessings begin to pour out. May we fall back in love with what we're doing. May we know that joy and sorrow is just part of the process so that we can be grateful. That we're excited about this piece. That we are persistent, but we're not focused on the money. That we are effective. We're using our time wisely to get to the next step. That we're realistic. That we're building the bridge to the other side of that chasm where we'd like to be. That we're diligent. That we're function well in stressful situations without having the need to complain, place blame, or make excuses. We're not letting things get in our way, either letting them or blaming them. And lastly, that we're finding purpose in what we're currently doing. Anytime you focus on the service of another person, you'll find purpose in what you're doing. And whatever you do, make sure you have that component of service. I was reading from the book tonight in our class, and something came up on this topic I just wanted to share in closing. I was reflecting in the book about our first few years here in Utah, faced with $1 million in debt and working very hard, had some more discouraging times, but some bright spots. And I talked about Ramona running the St. George Marathon and what a bright spot that was, just to connect and to feel of her power, presence. The one that I talked about tonight was being the Scoutmaster. And I made a statement that's not in the book that I wanted to make to all of you tonight. It is so important that when we get down and discouraged and we start to own and create with our clay, that part of that creation be service. Pure service. Abundance is not something that we win. Abundance is not something that we seek to receive. It is a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. Let us cast some bread out on that water and watch it come back. Do so with no strings attached. When you serve, one, you'll lose yourself in the service. You'll forget your problems. Two, you'll bless the lives of another. And three, you'll open the windows of heaven. I needed that. You may too. May we have the courage to do service as we're living in this journey, finding joy in the journey. If everything is about just getting one step ahead, we will lose the joy that can come from just being in service with another. Well, thanks, everybody. It's been great to be with you tonight. Let's take on our clay. Let's just own our clay. When I get off this call tonight, I'm going to ponder this a little bit more personally. There's some things I wish were different in my clay, and it's time just to build the most I can with it, trusting I'll be given more clay instead of wanting somebody else's. May you do the same. And a specific scroll? Oh, this is an interesting one. I'm going to suggest we study scroll number 3. Scroll number 3, I'll persist until I succeed. If despair should overcome me, I'll work on despair. I'll work on toil. I'll keep my eyes on the goal above my head and ignore the obstacles at my feet. For where dry desert ends, green grass grows. The joy is at the end of each journey, not near the beginning. I don't know how many more steps to take. One step at a time is not too much. May we persist. Persistence from those six measurements. May we persist until we succeed. And next week, we're going to take on self-esteem. I look forward to being with you again next week. Have a glorious week, and we'll be back with you then. Thanks, and good night.